I invite you to take your Bibles and open them up to Genesis chapter 12. Once again, Genesis chapter 12. We want to look at the first nine verses, basically focusing on verses 4 through 9 of Genesis 12. It's great timing. God does that so well in his way that he speaks to us. We think of the context of this particular passage, we have to remember that there were long years of rebellion against God by just mankind itself. There was no nation at the time. God had created man. Man rebelled. God allowed man a second chance, and his children and great children turned and rebelled. Then we had the great flood. God gave Noah a second chance, and they rebelled. And this story is kind of going on. Does it sound familiar? And then we have the situation where we have the Tower of Babel, where man rebels again. So there's a lot of years going on here of rebellion, a lot of abuses going on by individuals, people not treating each other properly, and certainly not treating God with the honor he is due. And so what does God do? Well, this plan was from the beginning, we know that, but he decides to establish a new nation. Individuals, it just wasn't happening, so now we're going to have a nation that's going to help be a light and represent him. And this people is to be a light to the nations. It was to be a multitude of ambassadors about who God is. They get the opportunity as a nation to represent God, his blessings, and who he is. So God's mission in this whole thing has never changed. We need to understand that. And by the way, it's still the same today. He is interested in restoring the things that were lost, into redeeming man and restoring not just men, but creation itself and all that was lost due to sin. And God's going to bless Abraham. He's going to increase Abram and his children through the knowledge of God, his commands, his expectations. So with this in mind, and understanding that this world that they were in was in apparent darkness, God shines once again. Let's begin reading in verse 4. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. And at the time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there, he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. Father, for the few minutes that we have this morning in your word, we pray that you will remind us once again of your greatness and our need for you and how great the nation that you made through Israel, and how great, Lord, our nation as well could be when we bow the knee to you. Remove the distractions that come, the battles of the mind that we have, and all the things around us that could cause us not to listen. Open our hearts, Lord, so that we may hear your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So the nation is moving forward now. We have this brand new nation, and God's starting to share the boundaries with it, with him, and where it's located. And he gives him one command, and he says, "I want you to go. I want you to go." So Abram takes his first steps as a new citizen, right? He's the first citizen of a new nation. Understand that this great nation that's being formed through Abraham is only going to be great in relationship with its God, the one and true God. And so I want to look at what I see, and what was so exciting, as you can read through it and study even for yourselves, is that these steps that are made by Abram really actually work for any nation who would want to be blessed by God. It is specifically made for Israel here in this context, but the principles do apply. I want to answer the question, what steps would make America great again to receive God's blessing? So that's where we're at. What steps? I want to give just two this morning. The first steps we see here right up front in verse 4. In order for the nation to be blessed, obedience was demanded. In verses 1 through 4, we see that this obedience wasn't a debate. God didn't have a conversation with Abram and said, hey, I want to make a new nation. What do you think we should do? What should the laws be? What might there be going on? No, he told him exactly what he needed to do, and he did give him all up front, obviously. This is just the first step. There's a whole lot that's going to be added as we read on through the various books. But here we have this whole nation now is going to be developed under a covenant of God, and obedience was central to it. And the battleground for this obedience, the heart. The battleground was going to be the heart of mankind. What would he do? The wise man did warn us, didn't he, when he said, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. He had it right on here. In our own country today, there is that continual ongoing battle for your heart. Even now, you probably struggle with things. Now, this battle includes more than just Christians. It's non-Christians. It's everybody. I think, though, much of the battle is not so much with the non-Christian world, because right now, they're not in favor with God. They're rejecting the Lord. Many of them may not even know him. I think the big battle is with the battle of those who claim the name of Jesus Christ. And here we're going to have the devil and all the forces of evil are going to come after it, because that's where the fight begins. We have here something that the devil wants. And the world and the devil and our own hearts, everything's vying for this piece of pie we call the heart. I want a part of it. I want you to worship me. I like the context of what was said by Elijah, if you remember, when he faced the prophets. If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. Well, the nation back then, at that time, was sitting on the fence. They had turned themselves to other gods. Oh, they still gave the God of Israel token praise, or maybe on the outside they may have gone through some form of worship, but their hearts were far from him, and it was really a national emergency. And so Elijah, being called by the Lord, he goes and confronts them, doesn't he? 450 prophets of Baal, and all the people are gathering around, and there's the one prophet. And he confronts them with their sin. And simply what he does as he talks about them, he says, now listen, you need to make a determination which you're going to follow, because you can't do both. You can't sit on the fence when it comes to the Lord God. If you're going to follow God, then you need to get over and follow him and him alone. But if you're going to try to play, well, I'm going to give him honor, but I want to do my own thing, get over on the other side, because you're not following God. There isn't 6 out of 10 commandments, or 8 out of 10 commandments, or 9.5 out of 10 commandments. There's God's law that we are called to follow, and Elijah simply just confronts them with this. So many of them have already decided that they weren't followers of God, if you read the story, and they're the prophets especially of Baal. But when it happens, and when God shows himself to win, we see a great, great revival take place. So simply here, it would be nice if this would be the only battle that Elijah and Israel would have to have. This battle would continue to plague them, may I say, all the way up to 2023. And now it's not just them, it's the world. When God started and poured the foundation for a nation that was going to be great and was going to be blessed, we see right up front the first thing that the first citizen of that first nation there, Israel, is going to do is he's going to obey. He's going to obey God. I don't think he would necessarily understand everything God, who God was or what he was, but here simply Abraham says, go. God says, go, and he says, okay, I'm going to do, Lord, what you say that you could do. I want to remind you, For those who think, well, God can ask us to do some challenging things, can't he? But remember some of the texts from the Word. 1 John 5:3 says this, God's commands are not burdensome. And in Matthew 11:30, he says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So these commands that God gives us are not meant to harm us or to weigh us down, but they are our freedom and our fortress in him. So it's encouraging when we read later in the first part of chapter 12 that Abram simply went as the Lord told him, and he went with confidence, and he followed after the Lord God. He was the first patriot of his country. I got to admit, I would call myself a patriot in many ways. Maybe we'd have to sit down and talk about what that is. I'm not ashamed to be called that. I feel blessed to live in these United States. I'm glad to be a part of this country. I haven't traveled maybe as much as some of you have, but I've traveled enough to experience and witness some things that other folks have to walk through. Now, America's got a lot of problems, has a lot of faults, and I so much appreciated the prayer time we had. We need to be in people of God as well in prayer and repenting unto God for our sins that we have done and are still doing. And so that certainly is there, but I still love America. And I love what God has done for it. Growing up, my mom and dad, of course, were big patriots too. Not New England patriots. I want to be clear about that. Not that. American patriots. So our family would participate in all those things, right? You're going to watch the parade. You're in the parade. Sometimes, yeah, you're not just watching. You're actually in and part of it. I remember our church back in Delaware, they would have floats to be part of the big city parades. And all that was a lot of fun as a kid. We visit a lot of historical battlefields, learn about history. My dad thought it was important that we did know our history and understand what it took and how people sacrificed and the actual facts and truth about our country. So they taught us those things. And we sang the song, of course, many times. And Kate Smith made it famous, right? God Bless America. You've heard that more than once. It's a great song. I love the song, but I wonder if it would be better if maybe there could be a phrase in there that something a little bit different rather than saying God bless America. Could we change that a little bit and say America bless God? Right? I think that's the first step that we see here with Abram is this idea that he's being blessed by God. Absolutely. God initiated it. God started it. God called him. We get all that. But what was Abram's first step? He blessed God. How did he do that? By his obedience. By his obedience. He didn't understand everything. And trust me, he would struggle. If we're going to be seeing that through our study in Genesis. He wouldn't make the right choices all the time. He would sin sometimes. And yet, God would call him back and he would repent and he would get right and he would bless God with his obedience. You know, there's a lot of people that even in our circles today in our country that would recite the Pledge of Allegiance hand over heart as they should, but they turn around and they treat their fellow citizens with contempt. Do you see a disconnect there? So this nation wasn't supposed to reflect that. We were actually supposed to reflect the image of God and all that he is. Abram's learning about it. He doesn't know a lot about God yet. But in the process, oh, God's going to teach him so much about himself. And he's going to learn what it is to be a man of God. So Abraham was a very blessed man. Now, what do I mean by that? I want you to understand this. If you study this word blessed, blessing, blessed, in our text, it has nothing to do. It's not an inner feeling, but it is a state of being. It is not an inner feeling, oh, I feel blessed. Now, I say that, but it's not really a feeling. I mean, there's feelings that come with blessings, don't get me wrong. But a blessing from God, in the Hebrew idea, it's a state of being. I am in a life of blessing. God is blessing me because of who he is, what he does, and how he ministers. I am blessed in that way because sometimes our feelings could make us feel like we're not blessed while we're eating our steak dinner or running around. able to breathe, able to interact. So the idea of, when he said Abram was a blessed man, what does that mean? He was in a state of blessing with God. God initiated it. God called him. Abraham responded. And that's the first step in obedience. So he was able to be a blessing first to the founder of the nation, God himself, by obeying the Lord. I love the verse. The nation whose God is the Lord will be blessed. So a first step that would make America great would be receive God's blessing, would be simply be to trust in God, which is the evidence through our obedience. We must obey the Lord our God and what he says. But the second step here is interesting, and it comes up twice, that would make America great as well, and certainly going to make Israel great when they do it. And it comes from something that Abraham offers to God. Did you catch it there? I believe it's in verses 8 and 9. It says, from there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west, Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. A little earlier it said he was there and he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him as well. So here in two different times, on two different occasions, one of the steps that Abram makes, and the first steps of a good citizen in the country that God has called, is that he offered his worship to the Lord, an altar of God to God. This isn't any old altar that they had done in the past to any old God. This was to offer praise to God. And I want you to compare that now with what we've just seen in chapter 11, right? So what were those folks doing? They were building something. They were building a tower, but as you read the story, you realize this isn't anything that's good. They're building, may I say, their own altar. God had told them to move on. They wanted to stay. They wanted, in fact, the text says they wanted to make a name for themselves. Where they were called, no, let the name of God be great. Make his name great among the nations. So we have this thing going on here where, as being blessed by God, comes not just from our obedience, but from the worship we offer back to him. So he'll be Abraham in a little bit. Abraham builds an altar to the Lord his God. I love what Paul writes in Romans 12:1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual what? Worship. Worship. As citizens of this great nation of Israel, the first steps that Abram makes is what? He's obeying God. He hears the call. He may not know everything about God, but he knows some enough. He knows enough. He knows some things. He responds to what he knows, and he obeys the Lord. What's the second thing he does? He offers worship to him. And so when we get to Romans 12 now, we kind of have to reflect on how this all started off. How was this built up? What is Paul trying to say? Well, it was more than just an act. Worship here in Romans 12, and I believe as well in the Old Testament, was a daily commitment for being all in. That's what worship is. We come here and we say, well, let's worship the Lord on Sunday. That's good. We should do that. And we should all say amen to that. So we should be worshiping God. But worship is not just an act or a moment in time. It is an ongoing thing that you and I do throughout the day. Well, that's what we should be doing. Showing up doesn't make it worship. Following along with the songs doesn't make it worship. Repeating verses on a screen doesn't make it worship. I'm not saying that it isn't. I'm saying that's not necessarily worship. Because if we follow what was done here, obedience came from the heart, and so did his worship. He built two altars, not just one, in that short time. Wherever he was at, he was building an altar, laying a foundation for the importance of giving our praise and worship and our lives, may I say, to God. So that's what he does here. I love the story that Tony Evans tells about the American hostages. Many of you remember this. When they came home from Iran on January 20th, 1981, I mean, folks, remember that one, watching it on TV and the news, yeah. Well, what was the first thing they did when they got off the plane? You remember? They what? they kissed the ground. I've seen this a few times from Vietnam veterans and things like that, or other prisoners of war that have gotten back. It was interesting when they kissed the ground, they bowed down. Home sweet home, right? Finally back. Putting their clean lips on that dirty, dirty tarp. And they kissed it, and they didn't care. And we loved it. God bless America, right? They went down. They went down. Because they knew where they were now. You know why folks stop bowing today to the Lord their God in worship? It's because they forget where they've come from. They forget that they've been hostages in Satan's territory for a long time. And now they've been made free. And I bet the first time you came to realize Christ as your Savior and you felt the grace of God pour over you, you were not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You were willing to proclaim it and tell your best friends, even the people who were non-Christians. That's where we all were. I'll never forget the first time when I finally gave my life to Christ. I was pretty young. I would say I was kindergarten age or around there. And I just remember not having any shame at all about talking about it at school or with friends, even trying to witness to a kid that was like 3 years old. I was trying to get him to trust Jesus. And then along the way, what happens? We get complacent. We forget where we've been and what God has done to save us. And there's no more bowing anymore. There's no more worshiping like we used to. Oh, we go to worship. And we might even engage a few minutes in a song or a particular thing if we like it or something. But the worship may not be there like it was in the beginning. And here for Abram, now he's at the beginning, I get it. And he's going to have his trip-ups along the way. But the steps are still true. The foundational steps are still right. He not only obeys God, but he worships God wherever he's at, whatever place he stops. He says, oh, first thing we got to do, we got to pause, and we got to worship the Lord our God who loves us. And so he does. And I'm wondering about us. Abram's a blessed man. Abram's been set free. He might be considered the father of his country, but he understands who the true father of his country is. Amen. The Lord God Almighty. And with humility, with a grateful heart, Abram bows down. Abram worships. Oh God, help me. Help me. Help us not to be complacent with our great God and all that he's done for us. In the words of the old hymn, is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Does your heart the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and find peace and sweet rest when you're all on the altar you lay. God bless America? Amen, he has. But that's not really the message here today. Will America bless God? If we want to be a great nation, I agree with my brother. This fight for freedom is not over yet. Is anyone here ready to cash in the cards and say, forget it? See, we got to wake up. God has given us an opportunity, as long as we have breath, to stand for freedom. Well, when I talk about that first, I'm ultimately talking about freedom that we find when we find Jesus Christ as our Savior. Freedom we find when we finally get rid of all the things, all the other altars in our lives that we have. These altars that are keeping us from worshiping and knowing the Lord God Himself and from receiving the blessings that He wants to pour down on us, because He can't bless our Baals in our hearts. We have to break down those altars, those high places in our hearts. We have to get rid of this and start establishing the altar of worship to the Lord, one true God. And so as we do that, guess what happens? That fire ignites. Back to Elijah, right? All that they try to douse it with, and that's what culture will do. That's what people will do. And sometimes, I'm sorry to say, that's what some Christian people will do. They're going to try to put water all over your fire. Elijah says, pour it on! Pour them on! Oh, it's not enough. Now, this is my version. It's not the Bible version. Let's just go to the Sea of Galilee. Let's do it there. God could have burned up that whole sea.
Amen.
Maybe we need that fire back in our heart. A lot of promise with America? Yes. Oh, we could list them all, couldn't we? Woo! A lot of problems with us. A lot of problems with our friends and people that aren't our friends. It's just issues. That's all water. But what will burn all that up is the fire of God, the Holy Spirit, as we obey Him, following Him, and break those altars that we've built, all religious ones, of course, but not God's, and worship Him alone. The fight's not over. I'm not ready to quit. The fight's not over. We're still here. And it starts here. And as we worship the Lord, we can then turn and hold the hands of our friends and brothers and sisters in Christ and others that don't know Christ. And we can bring them and say, oh, let me show you the God, our founding father, who can bring redemption and renewal into your life. That's how it spreads. One life, one family, one community, one state, one nation under God.
That's my God. Hallelujah.
Abraham obeyed God. Abraham worshiped God. And as we celebrate this weekend, and I hope you do, let's pause for a few moments. And let's ask God to help us be a part of a movement that will make America great again. It begins with our hearts in repentance. And it continues with our passion of fire for obedience and worship. God bless America? Absolutely. But the sermon ends here today this way. America, bless God. Would you pray with me, please? Our Father in heaven, as we come here this morning, as we think about this great, great nation that you're laying down, Abram has no idea, really. And that's okay. I would be in the same position he's in. I wouldn't know either. You've called him to something great. He says, oh, okay. So in our puny little minds, we're thinking, oh, I don't know what that's going to be. Maybe I'm going to have, 50 more kids and 500 more grandchildren and 5,000 more cows or whatever. He had no idea what was happening. But what he did have was a faith in God. And he believed you, God, and it was accounted unto him to righteousness. And Father, we struggle. We have all this entire Bible. Abram didn't have that. We have all this great men and women over the years that have studied it and written things, and we've been able to study it and have it in front of us. And we struggle with believing you. It comes back to that. Oh, Father, help us today to believe that, yes, our nation today, it's not Israel, but our nation today, like Israel, can be great when we stop having the altars of self and the altars of sin that we put up all over this world. And some have been mentioned today, but Lord, there are many more. And we break those altars down, and together we build the altar of our heart of worship to God and follow the one true living God. When that happens in America and across our land, you will make it great, because that's what your word says. We don't make it great. You will, as we honor you. But it starts with us. So, Father, we humble ourselves today. And as I close a time here, I pray that you will give us the wisdom, the sight, and the courage to tear down any altar, any high place that does not honor you. Forgive us, Lord, for building those in our lives. Release the fears. Release the frustrations. Release the anger. Release the judgmental spirit. Release the doubts. Release anything that keeps us from knowing you. For in knowing you, you will make this place great. In the name of Christ, and all God's people stand and let's sing together.